Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Just if you can, just would you open your Bibles while the offering's being passed to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. One of the things that I'm just coming to the pulpit again just to kind of finish up where we were last week when God passes by and not missing it when God visits us. And so I want to give you another account here, and then Jordan's going to sing a song that's been written for this account of Bartimaeus. And I want you to notice it says they came to Jericho, and he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. Now I want to just say this real quickly. The word Timaeus means new shoes, new heels, sorry. Timaeus means unclean. Did you hear this? It means unclean. This blind beggar was the son of an unclean man. And that man might have had, his dad might have had been leper. He might have had some things going on that the law, you know, deems as unclean. But he's known as a blind beggar whose name is Bar, son of Timaeus, son of an unclean man. He's a beggar, just like the two that we talked about last week. He's a beggar. He has no means to support himself. He has no family to support him. The only thing he can do is to beg. And his livelihood and his eating and his drinking and his just basic needs is based on the generosity of people who are coming in and out of the gates of Jericho. He's in despair. I mean, he's got this identity that he is unclean and that his family is unclean. I want to tell you this right now. Jesus comes to clean you and your family line up. Because that's what we were before we came to Jesus. We were unclean. We were walking in our rebellion. We were walking in our stuff. We saw last week in Ephesians that we were like the rest, the scripture says, walking in this spiritual death. And when he heard that it was Jesus of the Nazarene who was passing by, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And again, many are sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." And so they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He's calling for you." And throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and he came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. I want to see again." He's a man who knows what it's like to see, and now he cannot see. And he's saying, "God, I want to regain that. I want to get that again. I want you to come and touch me by your mercy so that I can see like I once saw before." And Jesus says, "Go your way, or go your faith, what you believe has made you well." And watch, immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Listen to this song, would you?
And I hear the Lord passing by. This could be my day of visitation. Passing by,
Jordan, a day of visitation. He hears it. He can't see it. He hears it. And there's every one of us in this place. And let me tell you, let me just say this right now, just kind of as a little caveat here, just a little bit. I shared this with this message from last week to 100 men yesterday in Glen Rose, last week's message. And so I might say something that I said there, or I might say something that I said here last week. You might have heard it already, but I'm just, forgive me, okay? Because how many of you here were not here last week? Yeah, go on, raise your hand. Okay, so about... Yeah, a bunch of you. Wow. So I want to just have to ask the question, do you remember your visitations from God? Do you remember when God passed by? And you might have been sitting in a message. You might have been at in a devotion. You might have been in a Sunday school class. You might have just been at Billy Graham. I don't know. There's some who have visitation at Billy Graham. Amen. I mean, my grandfather did. Had a visitation seeing, watching a Billy Graham crusade in New Orleans, Louisiana, where God passed by and he responded. And he no longer an alcoholic, no longer an adulterer, no longer any of those things. He was changed because God passed by and visited and he responded. Do you remember your visitation? Do you remember what God did and what God said and how God moved and how God changed your life? Do you remember the visitations? Do you remember the things that God came along and passed by but you said no to? Do you remember those? Do you remember when he passed by and he touched your heart and he touched your life and he spoke and you saw and you heard and you went, not going that way, not going to do it? Do you remember? Do you remember that God is this God who is always moving? And you know, God moved in and he went into Jericho and then he came out of Jericho. And he went into Jericho and he came out of Jericho. And it's when he's coming out that this man, Bartimaeus, realizes and understands that it's Jesus, the son of Nazareth, the Jesus the Nazarene. And get this, he knows he's Jesus, the son of David. There's some things that he knows. There's a knowledge in him about who this man is, and he's heard about all the great things that he's done, and perhaps he's thinking, if this Jesus is passing by today, could this be mine? Could this be ours? Could this be your visitation from God today? And he responds, and guess what? He doesn't miss it. He gets it. God visits and he gets it. God visits and he doesn't miss it. And this is the great thing about our visitations. It's the great thing about when I look back over my life. I was sharing with these men, and a lot of them from Waco. And I was first of all, I was 8 years old listening to a guy named Eddie Smith, who was this musical evangelist, and I realized that I needed something more in this 8-year-old life. as a child. You know, all the things my mom taught, all the things my mom brought us to, all the Sunday school classes from the time I could remember up until now, it all converged. And then I went to my pastor's study, which was a block and a half away, and I can remember riding my little red bike home it was just a block and a half on a little Schwinn bike that I had learned from training wheels just a few years earlier. And it was in that moment as I'm driving back that I realized, just as an eight-year-old, that God had touched me and that God had done something in my life. And then I'm 10 years old and I'm sitting in the second pew right on here, right behind where the deacon sat. You remember that? I mean, when those days the deacons came out of the closet, you know, they came out of the front closets, you know, and you go, what were they doing in there, you know? Well, they were praying, but they came and they were just really formal. You remember that? You didn't have that? Well, I had that. And every day they'd come out, and there were three on this side, three on that side, and they'd come out, and I sat right behind, we're sitting right behind them, and this man named Mike Toby, who became pastor of First Baptist Church Woodway right out of Waco, was preaching this message. Last message, he was headed to Fort Worth. I mean, he's headed from New Orleans to Fort Worth to finish seminary. And I remember like it was yesterday that this is what I was going to do one day. It was a visitation from God. And then at 17, sitting in a choir loft in Chattanooga, Tennessee, with a choir youth trip, where the message had been given, and I'm in that choir loft, and there is this brokenness over my life of just saying yes to Him, and just some of the things of just that were going on in my life, not huge, not bad, but it was a visitation from God. And then at 27 years old, which is just this movement of God in my life where I found freedom and where I came to this place sitting in a, well, actually it was, it's Jeanette's office now, where God put on our heart to stay at Cottonwood when you were just 25 people. It was a visitation from God. Do you remember yours? Do you need one today? Does your life, does your marriage, do your children, does your family, do you need another visitation today that God pours out His Spirit today and He passes by, and whatever that is that God has spoken to you or that whatever you've heard or whatever you've prompted in your heart and your spirit, that you're going to say yes this time? Would you do that right now? Would you say, yes, God, if you pass by, I'm going to say yes to you. Would this be your confession to this great, great God? Because I want to tell you, if you have a visitation and God's moving and God's telling you again, maybe for the third time after 6 years, because He's been silent to you over the last year, because last year you said no to Him and all of a sudden you stopped hearing Him. I've seen that in my 35 years. 40 years of ministry, where God passes by and you know there's conviction in that life, and yet He says no, or she says no, and they walk away, and I don't see them for weeks or months, and then 2 years later they come back, God passes by, they grip the pew, and they weep, and they cry, and they walk out saying no again, and then I don't see them again, even though they're in the community. I'm saying as your pastor, as your friend, that when God passes by, it's your moment. It is your moment to cry out to God. And that's what He does. He cries out to God and He doesn't hold back. And I love it because He leaves His cloak, probably one of the only possessions that He has. He leaves it on the road or by the side of the road, and He runs to this Jesus, this great God. And I want to say, if God calls you, you may have to leave it behind and run to Him so that He might have mercy on you and He might say, what do you want me to do for you? And you're able to say it clearly of what God's been speaking to your heart or what you've been longing in your heart to hear God. Don't miss it. If God visits, please do not miss this visitation. Bartimaeus did not. I mean, God touched him. He started following him, the scripture says, on the road. And I can't wait to see the rest of his story when I get to glory. Because he's got a story, folks. Because God started something on that road, on that gate, that gateway in Jericho. And my God says, listen, what I start, I finish. Because Bartimaeus will no longer live under the identity of Bartimaeus, son of the unclean. Now he's son of the living, a son or a child of the living God. And that's what he does when you catch your visitation. And you don't miss it when he's passing by. Bartimaeus caught it, and that's what I'm just saying to you. Cry out to him and don't hold back. If it means running to him, you run and you sprint to the altar. And it might not talking about maybe this altar, although I've seen people sprint to the altar before. You sprint to it. You move to it. You leave behind the cloak or whatever that is in your life. I love that. I'm going to tell you this again. He left his cloak. Let me tell you, when God cleans you, you leave your filthy garments and he puts on you the robes of righteousness. That's what he does. Amen.
Amen.
New nature. Amen. The old passed away. The new coming right now, right here for you and for me and for your family and for whatever else going on in your life. Newness. I'm not particularly telling you that your circumstances might change, but I want to tell you, you'll change. And that's enough. Amen. That's enough. But it'll be change. Because you recognized your visitation and you ran to it. You know, I was thinking just yesterday about this woman who hemorrhaged for 12 years. And then Jesus passes by and she gets in the crowd and she doesn't miss her visitation. And so I want you to turn, I want you to look just for, go to Mark chapter 5, if you would. Mark chapter 5 and look at her story, okay? Chapter 5, verse 25. Scott mentioned something in staff about all the people in Scripture that we don't know their name. We know Bartimaeus' name, but we don't know her name. But I want to tell you, Jesus stops because of her faith. Now listen, she didn't cry out. She didn't run. She didn't leave her cloak. Are you with me? That means, listen, God doesn't have this little box that you got to do it the way I did it. Or the way he did it, or she did it, or someone else did it. I mean, God comes and he speaks to your heart and to your heart language. And he comes to your need in the moment. And he comes, listen, he comes to your personality. He comes to your giftedness. He comes to how he wired you. Because, you know, if we want to just put it in a box, I want to tell you, nobody would get it. Nobody would get it. And so she doesn't run, she doesn't cry out, but notice what she does. Chapter 5, verse 25 of Mark. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, okay? She was bleeding for 12 years. I mentioned to you last week about just the season that I've been in a little bit of a physical thing. And I told you that the physical things that I've been doing have not been painful. They've not been debilitating, but they have been a distraction. Can you imagine bleeding for 12 years? Day after day, week after week, month after month. Now it's year after year, and now it's into the second decade. One decade has passed, and she's in her second decade of this. And the Bible says she'd endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. No hope. No encouragement, no more money, And the Bible says, what it says here, it says she's endured much. Not only she endured in the bleeding, but she endured much by the physicians. The scripture says, after hearing about Jesus, he's passing by. She comes up in the crowd behind him and she touched his cloak. And she thought, this is what she thought in her heart, in her mind, if I just touched his garments. In another area, another translation or another gospel, it says, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I can just do that. If I can just, in my mind, I'm saying, I'm not speaking it, I'm not yelling it, I'm not screaming it, I'm not shouting at the devil, I'm not doing any of those things. I'm just in my heart thinking, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that power was proceeding from him and had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? Who touched my garments? Who touched me in faith and released the power of God through this body? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in you and you say, who touched me? I mean, they're all touching you. They're all have an opportunity. They all have an opportunity to see the power of God come forth from Jesus and move into their body and move into their situation and in their circumstances. And he looked around to see the woman who had done this, and the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. You go in peace and you be healed of your affliction. She didn't miss her visitation. Oh, she moved toward Jesus. Jesus passing by in the crowd. But guess what? She touched just the hem of his garment. Look, just the hem of the garment of Jesus, and the power poured out of Jesus. Notice what she's thinking. Notice what she's saying. Notice what she's confessing. Not with her voice, but with her mind. In her mind, in her heart. If I just touch this, if I just touch him, if I just touch his garment, I will be healed. A visitation of God can only be responded to by faith. Believing that this God who's passing by and stirring my heart and speaking to me about the one situation, or about how I'm to move on with him, or the invitation of God that says, come, we're going this way, not that way. It's when the Holy Spirit comes up behind you and he says, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the left or the right, it's the Spirit of God coming into you and showing you the ways of God in the very moments of God, so that you might be forever changed. Do you remember your visitation from God? Do you remember when he changed your heart? Do you remember it? And let me ask you, are you in a situation or a circumstance or a season that you're saying, I need another pass by. I need another movement of God in my life. And I'm like that man in the pit we talked about last week, who's waiting, or David saying, I'm waiting patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he came, and he reached down the pit, and he took me out of the pit, and he put me on the rock, and he did this amazing work in my walk that changed me forever. These two people, Bartimaeus and the woman, we don't know her name, listen, they did not miss their visitation. They did not miss the invitation. But you know, it's kind of different for other people. I mean, turn to Luke chapter 14, if you would. Another snapshot, if you would, of a person who has an opportunity when God's passing by to respond appropriately in faith. And so Bartimaeus, he doesn't miss it. He cries out, doesn't hold back, runs to it. And this woman, what she does, she just believes in her heart and she reaches out and touches him. And then there's people who miss the invitation of Jesus to partake of his dinner, to partake of his food, to partake of his fellowship, to partake of his intimacy. And you find it in Luke chapter 14 and in verses 15. Notice what someone says. When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of heaven." But he said to him, "A man was giving a big dinner. He invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I bought a piece of land and I can't go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' And one said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' And then another, verse 20, said, 'I have married a wife and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported to his master. And then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'You go out at once into the street, into the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the crippled and blind and lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you've commanded has not been done, and still there's room.' And the master said to the slave, 'You go out in the highways along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner.'" Have you ever missed an invitation from God? Most of the time when we miss the invitation from God, we only realize it until it's done. And we realize what we missed. Have you ever been in that kind of situation? I missed the opportunity. I missed the opportunity to repent and to turn. I missed the opportunity to speak into my son's life, to my daughter's life. I missed the opportunity to be the husband God called me to be for my wife, or the wife I was called to be for my husband. And I missed the invitation that I read in Scripture about how a husband treats his wife and about how a wife treats her husband. And then how children respond to their parents and how parents respond to their children. And one day we wake up and we realize we missed 18 years of a visitation because our kids are gone off and they've not carried their faith with them because somehow we didn't do the job God asked us to do. Amen. And we had 12 years of visitations. We had these promptings in our lives that we said no to. We had the prompting of God and we got started. But after 2 or 3 weeks, we didn't keep going, let alone finish. Listen, God has told, if you're in Jesus, you've heard God. And God has told you and shared with you strategies and things that relate to your heart and to your situation that he's not only told you to do, and listen to me, when I say told you to do, I'm not looking at some guy doing this and doing this and doing this, but you know what? Sometimes I need this, 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 and this. Amen? Amen. I need it. Matter of fact, the Bible says when he corrects you, he points the finger at you and says, "This is where, this is discipline, this is discipline of the Lord, this is where you're wrong." And I don't know about you, but sometimes I really need a word to get my attention. You may not, but bless your soul, I'm glad you don't. But I do. You ever been there? Well, you know that God pointed it out, that God pointed the weakness. I don't know why, I don't know why we're so scared for God to come and tell us what's wrong with us. Do you know people who love the light run to the light, the scripture says, so their deeds can get exposed, so they can get the deeds right. That's what Jesus said. And if you love the light, you love what the light does. It exposes, it cleanses, it purifies, and it gives you the, it shows you the right way. It's the whole deal, folks. I mean, you can't come to Christ unless you know your need. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs and only theirs is the kingdom of God. Okay. It's the moment that I understand my total bankruptcy before God that I could ever cry out to Him and mourn over it, like Jesus says, and God to begin this great work in my life. Don't be afraid of exposure. These guys have an invitation from the Almighty God. It's the parable. I mean, it's a parable. But what he's saying, listen, I'm talking about my dinner. I'm talking about my feast. I'm talking about my house. I want my house to be filled. And I've invited many to come, not just to my house, but to sit at my table and eat what I prepared for them. And folks, in the kingdom of God, we're not just talking about a 20-minute meal together with God. We're talking about a lifetime of meals with our great God. And I want to tell you, if He's the cook and He's the chef, He's got some great things cooked up for you and me. But I want you to notice something, how these folks miss their invitation. I'm going to pray right now. I want to pray right now. God, there are people in our lives, people in this place that have a boatload of excuses of why they can't come to your dinner. And they don't even think of it as excuses. They think it of the urgent things of the day. And we get our priorities so messed up that we run after the things of the world and we miss the things of the kingdom of God. And we miss it, and our kids miss it, and our grandkids miss it, and our friends miss it, and we miss it because we're not saying yes to the invitation. And Lord, these things that we're going to talk about for just a few more minutes, is these are excuses that ought not be, because these are excuses that people give and they miss the kingdom of God. They miss the dinner. They miss getting into the house of God because these things were more important than the invitation. And so I ask, Lord, that as we look at verse 18 and following for just a few more minutes, that God, that you would prick our heart today and convict us of the excuses that we're making that should not be excuses. So come, Lord. Please, Lord. Reveal us. Shine your light on my heart, Mike Fritcher's heart, and our heart alike. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 18, they all alike began to make excuses. This one said, I have bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. You mean you can't go out and look at it before the dinner or after the dinner? You got to go right there at that time to go look at the piece of land that you bought that's in your possession, and you're going to miss an invitation from God because of a piece of dirt? You're going to be so important, the piece of dirt that you own is so important that I just worship it and I love it and I like it, so that when there's an invitation of some sort, nah, I'm just going to stay on my piece of dirt. You mean you'd exchange the life of God for a piece of dirt? That's what it is. Am I right? Oh, listen, I got 51 acres of dirt, okay? And we were talking about the other day, just the gift that God has for us. So please hear what I'm saying. But listen, I don't want to miss my visitation from God for 51 acres, let alone a lot, or a house, or stuff, or things. But listen, this is what this guy does. I bought a piece of land, and my property is more important than your dinner, God. It's more important than your invitation. So consider me excused. I've got things to do on my piece of property at that hour. And it amazes me. It amazes me that we've got this time, and we've got this time to do things for the living God and to move. But you know what? I'll spend my hours on social media than spending time with my great God. I'll exchange that for this. Talking to Fritcher here. Notice the next one. One said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Do you mean to tell me you didn't try those oxen out before you bought them? You didn't examine what you were buying. You didn't look under the hood. You didn't kick the tires. You didn't do that. You didn't do that before. And all of a sudden, you've got them. You've bought them. They're in your pen or wherever they are. And you're going to tell me that you're going to miss my dinner with me for 5 yoke of oxen? Please consider me excused. Please consider me excuse from this dinner. Does that mean that I don't get to check out my oxen and go to my property and to do these things? No, not at all. But when you get an invitation from God, don't make an excuse and make that the excuse for you. Please hear what I'm saying. You've heard me say it before. Not about perfection. It's about what? Direction. Sometimes my oxen is in the ditch and I got to go get my oxen. Okay, I'm not giving you some legalese here or legalism to thing, but I'm just telling you this invitation, when a visitation of God's coming, I want to tell you, you need to be like Bartimaeus and drop your cloak and run to him. And you need to be like the hemorrhaging woman and say in your mind, I'm going to get healed right now. And when the invitation comes, I'm putting everything off the calendar to God for your dinner and the dinner date that you've arranged for us to have. I can't apply that for you. Only you can apply that. But I want to tell you this, if you're living life in such a way that you're neglecting the word and neglecting it in your family and neglecting it in your life because of all these other stuff you got going on, and we've all got other stuff going on, I just want to say, shame on me. Shame on me. I don't want to exchange the glory of God for a 4-footed animal. I don't want to exchange the glory of God for stuff. I guarantee you, Bartimaeus and that woman who got healed, they were all in. They didn't have 1 foot in it and 1 foot out. They were all in. I want to ask you, are you all in because of the visitation of God in your life? Listen, I've got lots of things going. I got 3 children, their spouses, 8 grandchildren, and 2 on the way. Amen. And I want to be present. And I want to be there. And I want to make their games. And I want to see their games. I'm not talking about neglect here, folks. I'm just saying, don't neglect the invitation of God for anything. Amen? Amen. That's what I'm saying to you. Listen, one day I'll be the patriarch of my family. Okay? And I want to steward the gifts that God has given me by living my life out as a dad and as a pa and as a husband, because these are some of the best gifts, earthly gifts God's ever given us, right? Let me ask you, are you stewarding the gifts of God today? Listen, the yoke of oxen, that piece of property, those are gifts from God. The question is, am I stewarding it? I was on my way yesterday to Glen Rose early in the morning, and I remembered a scene from Saving Private Ryan. It's actually 2 scenes. And if you're new to us, I hardly ever do a movie thing, okay? So this is rare. But I was thinking about when they finally found him, and they're on the bridge, and Private Ryan does not want to go with him. But her mother, he's already lost 3 brothers, right? And President came down from the President. You go get him, and there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. He's going back to his mama, and you're going to protect him and do everything you can to protect her to get to his mother. And he's standing on that bridge, and he's saying, I don't want to go. All my men that I'm with, they deserve to go home. And he says, what am I supposed to tell? What are we supposed to tell your mom who's lost 3 sons when she loses the 4th? And in the midst of it, Miller, I guess that's his name, right? You would know that, right? Miller? Captain Miller, Tom Hanks, okay? Okay. When he finally convinces him and he understands the gravity of what they've been through, because that's what he's telling him. Listen, we've had a couple people die coming to get to you. And there's this overwhelming thing that goes on in his heart. And then Hank's character, Captain Miller, says, listen, what we're doing for you, you need to earn. And you come to the end of the movie and it's the last scene. Look it up. If you don't cry, there's something wrong with you if you don't cry with this one. Because he kneels at that grave and he says, every day of my life, I thought about what you said to me on that bridge. To earn this. To earn it. Now listen, hear what I'm saying. You can't earn your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. Don't go out of here and say, he used Private Ryan and tells us we got to earn something. No, I'm talking about stewarding what God's given to you. And that's a better word for us. But I like earn it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it in my heart. And so he gets up and his wife comes up to him and he says in the movie, he says, tell me I'm a good man. Tell me that I've lived my life right. Tell me that I've done that. Of course, she responds with just this affirmation that he lived his life right for her and their children and their grandchildren. You know, some people in life, they go through a company and they go 50 years, 60 years of faithfulness, and then at the end of the day, they get a watch. All that for a watch. And I realize there's more. But I want to just ask you the question, are you stewarding the visitations of God when God is speaking to you about your marriage and about your role as a husband and wife and as your role as a son and daughter? Are you listening to God in the visitations that when you're moving through life and how you're supposed to be toward your supervisor or the people you supervise? Are you listening to God? Are you making the changes or are you just making excuses? The third excuse: I've married a wife and I cannot come. Here's a man blaming it all on his wife. Let me tell you, bring your wife. Bring your kids. Offer this stuff as a living sacrifice back to me and steward what God has given to you. One of the things that John Ann and I are praying about you is that wherever you are and whenever you hear God, whether it's in a sermon like this or a Sunday school class or a devotion or a podcast or whatever you do, that you would not leave this place or that place forgetting your visitation. Because when you hear a word from God, you've been visited. God has spoken to you. He has convicted you. And you must make no excuse about it. Sometimes you leave the cloak and you run to it. And sometimes in your heart and mind, you say, if I touch him, I'll be changed. And I'll make no more excuses about this visitation. But I will run. I will run and I will not allow, listen to me, I will not allow my stuff, my cars, my things, my children, my children's activities, my children's sports to interfere with the visitation of God. Bow with me in prayer. Jordan, would you come up? I was compelled last night to offer an altar call today. And I ask you, if God's passing by, if God is passing by, would you respond to him right now, right here? When God asks you to forgive and you do not forgive, you've missed your visitation. When God asks you, when God commands you or tells you to get rid of something in your life and you don't do it, you've missed your visitation. When God speaks to your heart and you walk away without responding, you've missed your visitation. When God reveals the word to you to live on, to embrace, to move on and hold back, you've missed your visitation. When you're asked to make something right and refuse to do that, you've missed your visitation. When God invites you to step out and do something you don't feel comfortable with, you've missed your invitation. When you know what to do and you've not done it, you've missed your visitation. Saying to God no to God misses the visitation, but saying yes to Him catches the visitation. When you've gone your days not seeking God, you're missing your visitation. Now, when God asks you to forgive and you forgive, you've caught your visitation. Or when He's asked you to move with Him, you've caught it, you've got it, and you get to move on. And I want to ask you, church, are you missing your visitation? Maybe this altar call for you today is to come up on this altar and say, God, I don't think I've had a visitation in a while, but I'm saying yes to the next one. Hey, God, You're visiting me right now, and I'm saying yes to this. Maybe it's your obedience. Maybe you'd like to make a commitment to Christ to confess. I'm here to pray for you. Maybe you'd like to begin the process of becoming an official part of Cottonwood. I don't know. But would you please be open to it? Just for the next few moments. Holy Spirit, living God, what are we saying no to from Your voice? May today be a commitment to say yes. To move with what You've asked us to do. And I thank You in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And amen. I want you to stand. You're going to sing the same one. Good. You're going to sing the same song. And the altar is open for you. I'm here for you. There'll be other people who could be available for you. But I just want to tell you, if this has spurred you on in any way, you come and you come now to this altar in the name of Jesus. Would you do that? Would you come? Would you come right now?
This could be my day of visitation. Have mercy on me, Lord. Hear my cry of desperation. I hear the Lord passing by.
Don't miss this. If it just means you sitting down in your pew or your chair and getting something right with God, you do that. Please do not miss this moment, okay? It doesn't mean that you have to come to the altar to make it right or whatever, but just where you are, make this place an altar. And please, if God's been prompting you, would you please, please, I just beg of you to make whatever right, to say whatever yes that you need to make right now, right here. Hey, listen, don't miss God passing by.
I hear the Lord passing by. This could be my day of visitation. Have mercy on me, Lord. Hear my cry of desperation. I hear the Lord passing. My heart, my flesh, yearn to be with You. Open my eyes to see Your glory all the days of my life. And I hear the Lord passing by. And this could be my day of visitation. I hear the Lord passing by.
this is by no means over, so pray with me for just a second, okay? And just if you feel prompted to come, come. There's something welling up in your heart, your life. Please respond to God. Respond as a couple. Respond as a family. Don't let this moment pass by. Don't let it pass by. Father God, I pray for just this, for this overwhelming sense of your invitation today, your visitation. Oh God, let you not weep over us like you wept over Jerusalem, who missed their time of visitation in Luke. God, I pray in Jesus' name that we would say yes to you in this moment, right now, right here, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you need to sit for a moment, he's going to keep singing. It's going to be up here. You sing with it, okay? Now, you know it now, okay? So just sing it out unto the Lord in the name of Jesus. And you come.
I hear the Lord passing by.
Thank you, Jesus.
This could be my day of visitation.
This song is on YouTube by Tim Shepherd. Download it. Listen to it again. Listen to the message again. Because, you know, you might have it all together today. But maybe, just maybe, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks, God's passing by. And you remember this word. And you don't miss your time of visitation by responding to what God's asking you to do. Amen. Amen. So the Lord bless you. Oh, the God of peace keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. May you be full of grace, full of the power of God. May you hear his voice. May you see his ways. May you move with him when he moves. May you not miss a movement. May you not miss a visitation. May you not miss a pass by of our great God. May you move with him. May he lift up his countenance to you and give you peace right now and forever. Hey, say hi to somebody before you leave, okay? And God bless you. God bless you.